This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day.
Every Saturday is a beautiful day. Is it still a beautiful day with the new Saturday routine?
No. The routine has cut down quite a bit, I'll tell you.
So the routine on Saturday is a lot like it is on Sunday and Thursday and Tuesday.
That's exactly right. This new realism is quite different.
Yeah.
You know, it's not where we get out and do all those things we love to do. But I can tell you, people are tired of being in.
Yeah.
My secretary went to a sporting goods store. They were sold out of canoes. They were sold out of everything to get you on the water and get you out of the house.
Really?
Slip and slides are sold. No more slip and slides. Everything that you could go in the water, it's gone.
Wow, I would have never guessed that.
People are going to the rivers, they're going to the lakes, because, you know, you can social distance in a lake or a river. And my hairdresser said the other day, he said, I've just had it. He said, I've had it. Oh, my gosh. You know, enough is enough.
Wow, I would have never guessed outdoor stuff would have gone that fast.
Yeah, outdoor stuff, slip and slides are back ordered. It'll be August before you can get a new slip and slide for kids.
Wow.
Yes, everything's back ordered. The canoes are gone. All kinds of things, floaties, everything you need to be on a lake or a river.
So people are planning for having isolated fun.
They're going to have isolated fun, and they're going to get on the water and forget about this thing for just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because everybody's been in so long.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, most restaurants, you have to go on the patio, and even then, a lot of them will take your temperature when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to the eye doctor this week. They had me sit in the car. They came out, took my temperature. Then I was allowed to go in with my mask on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So the lobby was empty, I assume, right?
Everybody waited in the car? Empty. There wasn't a soul in there that didn't allow it.
Wow.
And the other doctor's offices tell me they don't allow anybody but the patient to even come in. No one can go in with you even.
Oh, wow. So if you have like a friend or a spouse or coworker or whatever, they've got to stay outside.
They have to stay outside. They cannot go in.
Wow. That's cool.
So the doctors apparently are more afraid than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've not only got the masks, they're taking people's temperatures.
And I assume they're wiping everything down.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to touch hardly anything. Remember, you're not going to sit down in the lobby. You're going to just go straight through to their offices. And I know they wipe it down before you sit down and after you get up. When I went to the beauty shop the other day, they sprayed the chair, the arms, the back, the seat before I sat down. When I got up, they sprayed it again.
Wow, that's cool.
And then they spray the surfaces. If you've touched anything, the surfaces are sprayed.
You know, it's nice to see so many places following the, I guess, the instructions or the guidelines.
Yes, everybody I know is. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do.
Wow.
They're not taking any risk.
No, that's important. I saw that, I think it was earlier this week, that I saw that coronavirus cases in Texas had gone up, but I didn't see any numbers this morning, so I don't know what the latest is.
Well, I think that when they opened up the other day, a lot of people had some restaurants that opened completely. There were some places that opened, and I think that's what caused it. You know, they weren't wearing their masks. They were doing all this other. And I do know that salon, that Great Clips there in Missouri, that closed after those two hairdressers had the virus, and they had to go out and check 140 people. And come to find out, not one of them got it because everybody had a mask on.
Really? Not a single person?
Not a single person. So that's really great news. So if something does happen and you're at a place where they do have it, if you've got that mask on, apparently it will protect you.
Good. So it sounds like then you know, when they say that, you know, hey, when people start to get back out again, practice the guidelines, and you should be okay. Get out, but get out safely. It sounds like these things are actually working.
Yes, and they're saying just don't get in a crowd, you know. And to me, that means don't go to a restaurant or a function.
Yeah.
You know, have your food sent out to the house. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. I know a lot of restaurants are redoing how they get food to people. I know some of them had, like, curbside pickup. You know, you order ahead and just go sit in the car by the sign. But I think a lot of places are doing extra things now to make that really a big part of how they do things going forward.
Right. And I do see everybody has the little deal out in front where you can just pick it up. And you just call them when you get there, and they come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the safest way. And, you know, Belk, which is one of my favorite stores, they don't even open till noon.
Really?
So they're only open half a day.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, and they have pickup on the outside of the store. You can order your things and say, I want to pick it up, and you can pick it up.
You know, I wonder how long stores like Belk or, you know, places like, you know, retailers like in malls and things like that, I wonder how long they're going to keep going without moving everything completely online. Because I'm sure they look at stores like, places like Amazon, and they're saying, man, you know, they don't even have a brick and mortar like storefront location, and they're absolutely thriving. So I wonder how long until stores like Belk will go completely online.
I don't know. But remember, most of the Belk stores are not at a mall. Most of them are in small shopping centers, little strips. Now, they have one at the Galleria in Dallas that they took over from another store. But most of theirs are not. And the ones that are at the Galleria's everywhere, I don't know if those will survive because a lot of people are not going to the malls. They're scared to.
Yeah.
You know, these big, huge three-story buildings. And the rent is just enormous there.
Yeah. It's a lot of overhead to maintain a mall location.
A lot of overhead. I mean, back when they were really famous, you know, you couldn't even hardly get a location. And they charge a premium to get you there. And now a lot of those people wish they weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah. Malls were already in trouble before. You know, it was nothing to go to a mall and then walk around and see several, you know, storefronts and locations just empty. No stores in there at all. And now, you know, people, they're going out of business and leaving the malls, but now people aren't supposed to social gathering. So going to the mall is the exact opposite of what they tell us to do. So I'm sure it won't help things at all.
No, I don't think it will either. And especially all you have to do is pick up the phone, make your order, and it'll come to your house.
Yeah.
And that's just the new way of doing things for right now.
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, we're all somewhat a little bit lazy and like to have stuff.
It's going to make us a lot lazier. I mean, you know, it's so easy.
Yeah. We've been given the green light to order online and have stuff brought to us.
And it's easy, and, you know, heck, if it doesn't fit, we just send it back.
Yeah, yeah, get another one.
It's not a big deal.
No.
I mean, yeah, this is the new deal. I mean, those miles and miles of walking and shopping, I think those days might be over.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Wow. And they're saying that there's a big shortage of cars, not a lot of new cars available, and they will bring them to your house and see if you like it and sell it to you. You don't have to go to the dealer for anything.
Wait a minute. There's a car shortage?
A big one.
Really? Is this
from
like...
There's a big car shortage. Yes. And I've talked to some of the dealers, and they said, we have such a limited inventory. If you don't like, you know, black or gray, you know, we can't even give you anything. We'll have to order it. And ordering is taking 2 months.
Is it because they shut down some auto factories
yes.
for a while?
Yes, it's because they had shut them down for a while, and so they're behind. And remember, Ford and them started making masks and ventilators. So they were making ventilators for people and still are. So they switched from building cars to ventilators.
Really?
Yes. So they started making these ventilators for the government. The government said, we want you to build these, and so they did. I think General Electric was involved, Ford, and somebody else. Several big, big companies participated in that deal.
I didn't even know that. I didn't hear that
yes.
at all. Wow.
Well, you've got to keep up with the news.
There's so much news.
There is a lot of news. I mean you've got to be on it all the time to know everything's going on in America.
Goodness gracious. I'm going to have to start relying on you now to tell me what's happening in the world on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I saw, as I said, I talked to some dealers this week, and they said, we are so short on supplies, it's ridiculous. And there was one story that these people drove from Texas all the way to Michigan to pick up their car.
Really? They had to buy it in a completely different state?
They had to buy it in another state. We didn't have it.
Wow. Are people buying automobiles? Is the demand up?
Yes. Now, here's what I don't understand. Somebody told me this story this week, and I still don't understand it. Because you and I know if we're working or if you own a business, yes, you can buy a car any day of the week, right?
Uh-huh.
But how about the people that are on unemployment? I know of two people on unemployment, they tell me they bought new cars.
How'd they do that?
That's what I want to know. I'm going, and maybe you're mistaken. I said, surely you're mistaken. They said, no. No, he's a cousin, and he bought a car for him and his wife. They bought two new cars, and they're both on unemployment.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't know you could do it either. In my realm, you always had to have employment. You had to show that you could pay for it, and you had to have some assets.
Yeah, you're always
it's a whole new
through
world.
The ringer. Wow.
And then they told them they didn't have to make a payment for 90 days.
Well, that's convenient.
That's the new deal.
Wow.
You can be drawing unemployment, buy a new car, and not make a payment for 90 days. How about that?
Well, I'll take somebody up on that deal. Wow.
Yeah. You don't have to make a payment for 90 days.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They're all offering that.
I've seen commercials a lot for, you know, places like Carvana, where you order your car on the thing and you can go pick it up or they'll bring it to you. It's like the little vending machine for cars.
Yes, it is a little vending machine. And I've seen one of those.
Have you really?
In Abilene. They have one in Abilene right there on the highway. And it looks like it's, 6 stories tall maybe. And has all these different cars on the different levels in that little deal.
Wow. I used to think that was a joke. I thought, somebody's kidding. This is funny. But apparently it's real. I've never seen one, but apparently
it's
a thing.
It is real. Carvana will bring you a car. You tell them what one you want to see. They get it. They bring it out to you and take care of the paperwork right there.
Wow.
Yes. It's a new day.
Apparently so. I need to get caught up on the day. Wow.
Yes. And my secretary's husband right now is selling cars because he was out of a job, and a friend of his owned a car dealership. And they said, and it's a Corvette place, and they don't have enough Corvettes to sell.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because people with money are still buying sports cars.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that hadn't slowed down.
Well, good. And that's the way it should
be. That's good for our economy.
Yeah, it's good to see people still out, you know, spending money and things haven't, because things, I suppose, could have probably easily gotten into complete total lockdown and people stop spending all money, and then that just sends the economy into a tailspin.
No, apparently. As long as they can get financing, these other people are buying cars. I mean, they're booking those cars.
Well, what's going to happen if like somebody is on unemployment and then they they get a new car, and then in, what did you say, 90 days, no payments?
They have 90 days before the first payment's due.
What if things don't recover in 90 days, and they can't get back to work, and they can't make those payments? Are those cars all going to be defaulted on?
Yes, I think they'll repossess them.
Well, then what?
It won't be good. It's going to be a bad day in BlackRock.
It won't be good.
Oh, I'd hate to be those dealerships that took those risks.
I know it, right? My
oh,
goodness.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
They could be on the hook for some serious liabilities here in a few months.
And we don't know what price cars they were. Surely they were ordinary cars, but you're still talking about $30,000 probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a significant investment.
Yes, and if you're already drawing unemployment because you don't have a job, how in the heck are you going to make that payment in 90 days? I guess they'd say, well, we'll have a job in 90 days.
I guess that's what they're factoring.
They're figuring that they couldn't possibly be out of work another 90 days.
Wow. Well, hopefully they're right.
But they're from Midland, Texas, so I don't know about that. I mean, you got to think about where they're at.
you got a point there. It's all regional, you know?
That's right. And there's so many people laid off in Midland, I just can't imagine that the people that are laid off are buying cars.
I saw some apartment complexes are starting to run deals, or they've been running deals, but, you know, they've slashed rents by like half, and they're on top of the huge rate cuts. Then on top of that, they've got... 3 months free rent or whatever the case is. You know, the deals are different.
Wow.
Yeah. They're really,
well,
really
I didn't know
adjusted.
That because I know they said they gave all these people rent abatements during this, and they said 30% of them is all that really took advantage of it.
Oh, really?
And that's pretty good if only 30% couldn't pay their rent. And I don't know in what state that was in. But I did see that where that they said they offered them, you know, rent abatements to help them. And they said only about 30-something percent took advantage.
Wow.
And the rest actually paid.
Well, that's really good. That's good to know. That's kind of optimistic.
Yeah, but I don't remember which state it was. Because I know up north it probably didn't work out that way.
Yeah, no, probably not. I saw a lot of people, especially around like New York City, at least on the news, they were saying that, you know, if you can't pay your rent for, you know, 90 days or whatever it is, then that's fine. You have a free pass. And then a lot of renters were saying, like, you know, you go ahead and don't pay for 90 days and we'll see what happens. I'm going to ruin you when that time frame is up. Oh, yeah, it got ugly.
Wow. Well, you know, this Mike Mullins, the big oil man in Dallas, he got in a dispute with his mortgage company. I wouldn't even think you'd have a mortgage if you had a $9 million house.
Yeah.
And they foreclosed on his house secretly. They didn't go to the courthouse. Like, you know, on a foreclosure, you have to go to the courthouse, and it's auctioned off right there at the courthouse on a mortgage. They did some kind of a secret loan and foreclosed on his home. And he is now suing them.
Can you do that?
I don't think you can do it if you don't do it in public. You have to have it where there can be more than one bid. They bid it in themselves and bought it back themselves, the mortgage company did. So it was kind of, I think it might have been illegal what they did to him.
It sounds a little fishy.
It sounded real fishy because you can't do it that way. Dallas County said, you know, when you have these mortgage deals once, and you have to advertise them, and they're once a month, and they're on the courthouse steps, and you can't do it a different way. You can't say, I'm just going to have this little secret deal. I'm going to sell it to myself. I don't think you can, even for $9 million.
Yeah, that sounds a little suspicious. He may have a case there. You said he's filing a lawsuit?
I think he does. He has already filed it. It made the papers.
Wow.
You know, everything makes the papers in Texas. You know?
That is true. That is true.
I mean, we always know about everything's going on, you know?
It's important to know everybody's business.
That's right. And remember, you know, we always get our little blogger out here in the country. And now a lady wrote in. She was madder than heck. She said she's going down 407. And that dadgum turkey got in her way, and she had to stop. She called the police and said, "This turkey is a nuisance." Well, this turkey lives here, you know? She's got to get a grip on life.
Yeah, calling cops over turkeys is too much.
I know. And then the other deal that happened this week, this man is out fixing a water leak in his front yard. And the neighbor calls the police. Apparently he's an old, mean man. He calls the police and said, "There's a contractor working after hours over at this house. I want it stopped." And the police went out there, and it was just a homeowner working in his yard to try to fix a leak.
Oh,
yeah. But this guy didn't have anything else to do.
Wow. Other than spy and tattle.
Yeah, and tattle and be ugly. Hmm. Now, I read this week, and this is this ought to stop a lot of people in their tracks. The people that get dementia were mean in life earlier.
Really?
That's what it said. It said all these people that got dementia, they were mean people all their life. And they didn't have a good personality. They weren't friendly. They weren't nice. And that meanness, later on, then they got dementia.
I wonder if those are connected or a coincidence.
It said it was connected.
Ooh, that's a good indicator now.
That's a good indicator. People better straighten up and be nice.
Exactly. or you'll get dementia if you don't.
That's right. So these people, these small towns that are really ugly, they need to straighten right up.
Well, that is true.
I mean, you know. Calling the cops on your neighbor, that's a bad sign.
I know. It's like, you know, and if you were nice to your neighbor before, you call the cops on your neighbor now, that whole relationship is never, it's never going to be the same after that.
It'll never be. And the man was so mean, he called the cops back and he said, "I expected you to come and talk to me."
Yeah.
And they go, "You've got to be kidding." You know, I mean, they went out and saw the man, and they took care of it, and that's all they were obligated to do. They weren't obligated to go talk to him.
Oh,
but that's one of those meanies that he's going to get Alzheimer's later on because he's so mean.
That is true. He's got something big coming at him.
That's right. So he better straighten up and put a smile on his face, go out in the sunshine, and change his attitude.
Exactly. Turn that frown upside down.
That's right. Turn it upside down.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And I heard some good compliments on our show this last week.
Did you really?
Yes. A gentleman from California is a new client, and he said he really enjoyed it, and he said he had a good laugh on part of it.
And, part of it.
Part of it. Well, the funny part. You know, the funny part. We hope that's the part he was talking about.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't our serious part.
No, if they were laughing at the serious part, that's not a good sign.
That wouldn't have been a good sign. But anyway, we had more calls on Monday than we've ever had. Had a lot of people calling. The different things that were said was they were in the stock market. They wanted to get some money out. They didn't feel safe. They said they had it in the S&P and they were worried. One guy said he had some money in a CD. And I thought, my gosh, I don't know if anybody has any money in CD. And he said he wanted to make a little bit more. I thought, my goodness, he's not making anything now.
You can make a lot more.
Yes, a lot more. And the other people had good questions. I sent them an illustration of how it works. And so, you know, we've got a bunch of new clients off of it, so that was nice.
Wow. So the people who have been investing for a long time, they're still going along as normal, and then all these new people are coming on board, right?
That's exactly right. Our other people, we did three policies this week. Now, a lot of people don't understand how that works. When we start filling policies, sometimes there is a rush on one of them. And I had a complaint this week because some people didn't get in, and they wanted to know. They said, "Well, why didn't you tell us there was a deadline?" Well, sometimes we're like our best. We forget to tell you, you know, that there is a deadline on some of these. Like the owner of some of these policies, we have to close within so many days, like 2 days or 1 day, whatever it is. So when we call and say, we'd like to get your opinion, if you want to invest in this, can you get right back to us? We're really serious. You know, it's not going to be a week or 2 weeks. And there's one person we forgot to tell them that we did have a deadline on that policy that we did have to know right away. And we did not tell them that, and they missed it, and they were mad.
Mm. But I would assume, though, there's other policies coming available, and they'll be able to get
it. We had another one to put them in immediately.
Oh, cool.
And there's not a deadline on the PAR policy. I'll just tell you, the PAR one, they've got 2 or 3 days on that one. That one doesn't have the same deadline. And Rick, my friend, that's lost all the weight, that's done so good, he called in, and he said, Faye, I'm going to go in that PAR policy. He said, now, anytime I don't have any money in a policy and you want me to go in it, just put me in it and I'll send money. And he has a lot of money with us. He's a large investor with us. And he just says, put me in a policy, call me, and I'll send some more money over.
Wow.
That's a good way to be, isn't it?
Wow. I didn't realize people were just, you know, put me in whatever, whenever I trust you, and they're making all this money. That's amazing.
It is amazing. He's had a lot of policies come due this year. He's made a lot of money. I mean, he's been with us for years and years. His dad was with us when his dad was alive. They were both investing. His two sisters invest with us. We have a lot of big families that do invest with us. We've got another gentleman that's been with us quite a long time. He came from either Exxon or Chevron, and his brother-in-law is with a bank, and he'd called several months ago, and we hadn't heard from him. He called this week and said, okay, I'm finally ready. Get my papers. I'll come in and sign them. And that's the way people are.
So what happened between the original and this week?
Well, I think because his sister died, I think that slowed him down. I think he's a twin. She was his twin sister. Hmm. And so I think that's why it took him a couple of months to do this. But anyway, they called, and they're coming in. We've got some more people coming on the 15th. They've sold their company.
Oh, wow.
They were in business with their grandfather. They've sold their company. They're coming in on the 15th and to get signed up. The father is already a client. But the son's coming in with him to start some new accounts with us. That's a pretty big deal. And we've got another gentleman, one of the ones that called this week. His company has sold, and he's not sure which day is the last day. He said somewhere between the 1st and 15th is my last day.
Okay, so when you say the company was sold, was it his company or was he an employee?
Yes, no, he didn't own the company, but it's his 401k.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
They have sold, and so he's got to move his 401k and his IRAs.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. He has a Roth, an IRA, and an after-tax account.
An after-tax account?
Yes, a lot of them do if you have a 401k. What it is they've already paid the tax on that amount. So when that comes over, that it won't be in an IRA. The tax has already been paid up to date.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, so he's going to have 2 or 3 accounts. We have a lot of people that have 2 or 3 accounts because they have different interests.
What do you mean different interests and different accounts?
Okay. If you work for a company, you probably have a regular traditional IRA. Mm-hmm. You may have a Roth with that company. And then your profit sharing is after taxes.
Mm.
Okay? So sometimes you have 2 or 3 accounts with a company. But a lot of companies are selling right now. The people are coming to us. They're going to put their money with us because they have to take it out. You can't leave it. And it's all a rollover. This is not going to cost them anything. The taxes will remain the same. If you have a Roth now, when we transfer it to us, it'll still be a Roth. An IRA will still be an IRA, and a 401 will become an IRA.
Okay.
So that's the way it is. And then everybody says, okay, this one guy said, okay, I want to know if somebody had a short-term illness, 15 to 18 months, what it would make. I said, if it's 15 months, you'll make 15%. If it's 18 months, you'll make 18%. He said, well, I want to know what the person's going to make that is you're buying the policy from. So I told him how much they were going to make. Then I told him how much escrow we have to escrow for premiums. So, and we have the premiums, we have the guy to pay, and then we have him. So there's three parts to that.
So it sounds like people are just kind of getting an idea of, you know, when they present hypotheticals like that, they're just trying to get an idea of really how the overall process works, right?
That's right. Especially if you have a board of directors or it's in a trust or something like that, you have to know everything. You want to know, you know, what am I going to make? How long is the policy going to be? And sometimes, and I've never had anybody ask that before, they wanted to know how much the man was going to get that we were buying his policy. And, of course, I told them.
When they ask that, do they mean it from the point of view as though when the policy matures or when you buy the policy from them, how much are you paying?
Yeah, when we buy the policy, what are we giving them? They will know, I guess, if they're getting a lot of money or, you know, if it's like those other companies, they're giving them a small amount. But with us, you know, they get a lot of money.
Okay. So basically what he's talking about is that profit margin, you know, if you, and I'm just making some numbers up here, but if a policy comes across your desk for like $100,000, you may pay $75 for it. And that profit,
that's right.
Different. That's the profit margin right there.
That's right. And then after that, you have to figure, well, we've got to pay the client. Then we've got to put in the escrow, and we try to escrow 12 months over. Not only for the time that the policy, let's say it's 18 months, we're going to escrow that 18 months, and then we're going to do another 12.
Okay. So there's plenty in there.
Yeah, we want to be sure there's plenty in there. And on almost every policy, there's an extra 12 months escrow in there. Now, the old policies don't have that. Those way, way back there, those don't. We wish they did. But we're almost through with those. I think we like two more of those. And then we'll be out of those old, old policies.
And so people are investing in life insurance policies. They're basically buying a life insurance policy from a person diagnosed with stage 4 cancer who wants to sell it. That's really the bottom line about this, right?
That is the bottom line. The bottom line is we buy life insurance policies on people who have stage 4 cancer. Stage 4 cancer, you usually do not survive it. And if it's metastasized, that is really a sign they're not going to make it. If it's metastasized, that means it's spread. And we look to see if it's spread in one location or two or three. Because usually it'll go ribs, lung, and then to the brain. And I've noticed on all of our deals, they always go back and check to see if it has entered the brain. And, you know, all these that we had come due the other day, we had a $1.5 million policy that the guy had brain cancer. And that came in early. You know, all those that we had, and we had some that had prostate cancer. That one came in. That was another one. And we had a melanoma. The guy had spinal lesions. It was on his legs and everywhere else. And then we had some colon cancer and some lung cancer. And all of these, you know, that's the best that we buy. We buy a lot of colon. We buy a lot of breast cancer, as you know. And then the brain cancer, if it's inoperable, you know it's going to be even shorter.
Yeah.
And then on the prostate, we always want to make sure that it's in the final stages. Mm-hmm. And so that's we really look at those prostate cancers very. And if it says castrate resistant, they're going to go a lot quicker.
Wow. So it's important, I guess the bottom line of what you're saying here is that it's important to know that the types of policies are what really, it's the cornerstone of this whole investment. It's what really makes this such a profitable investment for so many people. One, the profit margins are good and the returns are good as well, because we know the data, we know the statistics with people diagnosed for stage 4 cancer. Those policies are going to mature quicker than others.
That's exactly right. And if you stick with stage 4 and with the cancers that you know, like we do, you know, we know how that cancer is going to perform pretty well. And we know if it's in the lymph nodes, that's really a bad sign. You know, if it says it's in 3 of 10 lymph nodes or 5 of 12, whatever. If it's already spread to your lymph nodes, you don't have much of a chance because you know the lymph nodes are all over your body. So when they say that, you know, we know how serious it is.
They're basically the superhighway to that connects the whole body together.
They really are. And, of course, I always look in the ribs because we've had so many over the last 8 or 9 years. If they get, like, lung cancer and it goes to the ribs, once it's invaded your ribs, it's pretty much gone because it's going to go everywhere else. Or if it says it's already went to the liver. And once it goes to your liver and it's in these other places, you do not have much of a chance. I bid on a policy this week. I don't know if we'll get it. A breast cancer one that's really, I think, will be top of the line because this woman is doing everything but traditional medicine. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. She's eating raw liver. That's one of the cures, raw liver. And let me tell you something, if raw liver will cure her, you know, I'll buy that policy as quick as I can. That raw liver is not going to help this woman. It's just going to make her sicker. But she's doing raw liver and all these vitamins like vitamin C. Vitamin C is not going to cure cancer. But somebody told her this, and she's got somebody giving her all these shots. And then, as I said, she's eating raw liver. And when I read that, I said, I need to bid this quick.
Wow.
Because this lady, she isn't going to be with us very long.
So she's doing all these things except chemo and radiation.
Yeah. If she was doing the regular things, I would say she had, you know, a better chance. But she doesn't have any chance as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you do something like that, you're just plain making it faster. It's going to grow all this time while you're eating this raw liver. It doesn't make sense to me.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, I just can't believe a doctor would get involved in that.
Yeah. So you see this come across your desk, and so what's the first thing you do when you see that? What's the first thing you see?
I read the whole thing. I read everything she's been doing. And I said, this is going to be a good policy. I said, sign me up.
Wow.
I don't know if we'll get it, but I bid it real quick. So if we get it, I'll be putting that out real quick because this is going to be a fast policy when you're eating raw liver, I can tell you.
How long is that one right now? Is it like 15, 18 months?
Yes. It's not real long because she isn't going to live a long time.
Yeah. So regardless of the LE, there's a good chance that this one may come in early.
In my opinion, it will because I've never in my life heard of anybody eating raw liver and doing this. You know, and coming in alive. I just don't know. Because, you know, we do an awful lot of breast cancer because we're pretty good at breast cancer because we see them all the time. And, you know, all of them but three, as I've always said, has come in on time. We've had three go over. Three were late. But the rest of them have all been early.
Huh.
And because people don't usually find breast cancer till it's in the second or third stage. I don't know why. They don't seem to find it when it's, you know, stage one. If they did, they could survive it more than 5 years.
Yeah.
But stage four, it's just not going to work that way. And if it's already stage four, why in the heck are you doing the orange juice and the vitamin C and raw liver?
Yeah.
That's just too much for me.
I guess people just get desperate. You know, they end up with that diagnosis and they just get scared. And it's like, I've got to do something drastic and desperate. And they grasp on to anything that they can.
Well, and I hate to think that a regular doctor, and I don't know if he's a regular doctor, whoever it is prescribed this. I mean, I think he's pretty far out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, that's pretty far out.
Yeah. It's definitely different. I don't know that I've ever heard of that before.
I've never heard of raw liver.
So you've bid on this policy. When will you find out if you've got it?
Probably another week. Usually it's a 2-week bidding process.
Okay. All right.
But I'll let you know how it comes out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. And to have a doctor prescribe some kind of a treatment like that it's a little bit different. That's for sure.
It is different, and I just don't think you can beat the system. I mean, you know, we've got scientists and doctors working on cancer treatments every day, And I have never heard a scientist say, if you eat raw liver, you're going to survive.
Yeah, that's definitely a first for that one.
Yeah.
What other policies do you have out there? What's hanging out in the balance here?
Well, we've got several policies that we're bidding right now. We've got a $700,000 one. We've got a couple of $1 million policies. And all of them seem to be short term. You know, I've got one that's 36 months, which is they'll make a lot of money on. And the others seem like they're all 18 months and 12 months. I even bid on one that's 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid that man may die before we even get it. I don't know. It seems like he's pretty sick on that 6 month one. But we've had a lot of short term. Seemed like all these people are trying to get their house in order. And we've had more availability of policies than we've had in a long time. We're bidding policies two and three a day, some days four. And a lot of them are good. There's some that we turn down that just don't pass muster. Oh, and they tried to sell us a Genworth policy this week. And then another company. And we looked them up, and they were a C plus.
Ooh.
Now that's getting low down there. When you go from an A to a C, woo, that's a scrape in the barrel.
Yeah, something terrible happened there.
Yeah, I mean, their ability to pay is probably not what it should be.
Wow.
And I would not want to be involved with them.
Yeah, so you're not even.
But as you know, we've stuck with the A ratings. We've just stuck with that.
That's working because you know that they're on the up and up. You know that they've got the backing to pay these policies out when they mature, and it's working. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And speaking of that, annuities, a lot of people if you need guaranteed income, that's what an annuity's for. Or if you're retired and you don't qualify. To do a life settlement. An annuity is great. And right now, Midland National, the one that we love and do the most business with, as you know, they're worth $58 billion. They've been in business 100 years.
Wow.
They've come out with some new policies that are going to pay fantastic. I looked them up, what it had paid this one the last 10 years. It's paid around 10 to 11%. For 10 years.
Really?
So that's awfully good. I don't know if it'll do that good in the future, but they've added some things to it, I think, that will make it even better. And I got a notice from one annuity company years ago, said, we're decreasing our rates. And Midland National's increasing theirs.
Really?
Yeah, they're increasing.
Wow.
So people that are very, very conservative, annuity might be the answer, might be what they're looking for. Because your principal is always safe. Your principal's safe. You can do a fixed annuity and have a fixed rate, or you can do an index. And the indexes have changed a lot in the last 3 months. So I would also recommend annuities if you don't qualify for our other program. And our other program, as you know, you've got to make $200,000 a year, or you've got to be worth $1 million to be accredited, and that's without your house.
Wow. All right.
And we have lots and lots of people that are accredited. In fact, all these people that called in this week, every one of them was accredited.
Really? All of them?
Yeah. They all said, we are accredited.
So they knew ahead of time. They did their homework. They ran the numbers. They knew exactly what they had and where they had it, and they knew going
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they knew they were accredited, and they had already went to our website and checked us out.
Wow. That's,
so they'd already looked at what people are making. They looked us up, and that was a good thing.
Yeah, it almost sends a sign that, you know, hey, we're serious about doing this. We're not just window shopping. We are ready to buy.
That's what it sounded like to me. They're ready to get invested and to make some changes from the stock market over to a more conservative investment.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's a lot of investment opportunities. It sounds like, you know, there's just an abundance of policies and in a time where a lot of people are, you know, I guess investing from a defensive point of view, people over here doing life settlements are really coming at it from an offensive point of view.
That's exactly right. And people have already made lots of money this year. As you know, we had $8 million since January that has matured, and we almost all that money is in. We're still waiting for $2.5 million, and that will probably be in this next week, and then 100% of their money will be in the bank.
Wow, that's amazing. That's fast.
It is fast, and we only had one that wasn't, but that's already in the bank and in their accounts, and everything else has worked just like it should. So in spite of the virus, we're getting our certified death certificates. We're getting the money to the people. We're getting it in their account, and we're getting them reinvested as quickly as possible.
Making money hand over fist.
We're trying. We're doing every day.
And that's what it's all about. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I'm sorry for running late. Normally, we get into trivia a little earlier than this.
We are running a little late today.
What are we talking about today?
Okay. Let's talk about this. This is a great story. Down here in Orange, Texas, there's a guy named William Stark. And in the 1800s, he came down there with a new wife. And she said, look, there's dirt streets, there's cowboys shooting off pistols. I don't think I want to stay here. This is 1894. He said, if you will stay, I will build you a mansion here. And it'll be something like they've never seen. He built a 14,000-square-foot, 15-room house.
Ooh, wow.
For his new wife. Now, as I said, there was dirt streets, there's cowboys. He paved the streets. He brought electricity. Churches. He brought everything to Orange, Texas. Now, the exterior of the walls has got two layers of diagonal cypress. So when the wind blows, the house just gets tighter in a storm. And remember, this is down on the coast, and you know it can get bad.
Yeah.
In the foyer, the cypress and longleaf pine and pine panels, it's got intricate moldings. This is just a most gorgeous house. And they lived in it till 1936. They've restored their mansion. It is open to the public.
Really?
This house, oh my gosh. Let me tell you, in early in the 20th century, they had 15 employees. They had a cook, a butler, a maid, a nurse, a chauffeur, a laundress, and a gardener. And they all lived on the grounds in the carriage house and servants' quarters.
Wow.
These rooms are preserved so beautifully. They're lined with yellow silk wallpaper. The original family furniture is there. The mirrors on the ceiling are still there. The formal porcelain dining sets and their collection of crystal, it's best in the world probably, is still there. Now then, Mr. James Audubon, if you remember who he was, they opened a museum, a Stark Museum, a few blocks from the house. It's got 60,000 feet.
Wow.
They've got 9,000 pieces in the museum.
That's a lot.
9,000. They've got a lot of Remingtons. They've got Herman McNeil. They've got every kind of porcelain sculpture of American birds. They've just got a collection of everything. Then Mr. Audubon, this is one of the signature pieces, John Audubon's personal copy of Birds of America. It's an enormous double elephant folio. It's only 1 of 100 remaining in the world.
Really?
This book is 39 inches tall, 28 inches wide, and it's the complete collection of Mr. Audubon's birds in the United States.
Good Lord, that's huge.
It is huge. Now, then all of the crystal, they've got the most complete crystal collection probably in the world.
Really?
Oh, yes. Their crystal includes a motif on each of the 50 states, and one more for the United States is on every piece of crystal.
How cool.
I mean, this is something it would take you all weekend, 3 days, to see all this. And then They also have, and this was reopened also, Shangri-La. They have this Botanical Gardens and Nature Center, and it's just a short walk from the rest of it. And it is like the fictional Tibetan paradise described in the 1933 novel Lost Horizon.
Really?
They've got azaleas, camellias. They created a lake, and he used to launch his houseboat in the 1950s. And in 1958, a cold winter devastated. They closed everything to the public. And then in 2008, the Stark Foundation restored all the gardens, the wetlands. They have an egret rookery that includes a viewing blind where 50,000 people a year watch all this.
Really?
He painted a picture with all of his horticulture. He has every known flower and bush probably in the entire world.
Good Lord.
He had an obsession with camellias and azaleas. Now then, you can get in a boat. They put you in a little boat, and you can go down through this and along the bayou. And everything is untouched on the Cypress Swamp Bayou.
So it's just as it always has been.
Yes, they cleaned it back up. It overgrew during the time it was closed after that terrible storm and all that.
Yeah.
But they have restored the whole thing.
Wow, how cool.
So you've got this nature preserve that tops the world. You've got the home, 15,000 feet to explore, to look at what people did in the 1894s and what this guy did. And then you've got your museum with 9,000 pieces.
It's amazing. You know, I love when you can go into old homes like that and they're restored, because you can kind of see, you know, how things used to be. It's even more impressive when there's so much that's original. And it sounds like the original house does have so much of the original architecture to it.
Everything is original. And they've just restored it and kept it like it was. And they have all their plates out, their silverware's out, the original dining chairs, the original table is out. Everything is just like they left it.
So it's like the table is even set as though you were going to come over for dinner.
Just as if you were coming to dinner. It's a fabulous place. The things on their table are just one of a kind. That, can you imagine how people lived in the 1800s when you had 15 people working for you?
Yeah, yeah.
And the mirrors on the ceiling in the dining room are to die for. They are out of this world.
I bet they're elegant.
And they are. And the exquisite fireplaces, their china cabinets, everything. Nobody could have anything that nice nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, really.
But
wow.
14,000 feet with 15 rooms. And back then, for him to have gotten electricity and all this in a house, to keep his wife there. I don't know how he knew about electricity.
I don't know. And the way he built up the rest of the town around it,
that's
pretty impressive, too.
It was, because Orange was nothing but dirt streets when he came there. And she said, I'm not going to live here like this.
Yeah.
And so he said, I'll pave the streets. I'll do all this. I'll put a bathroom in. I'll put, you know, electricity in your home. He did all this in the 1800s.
Wow. That's a lot to accomplish today.
That's right. And the wood, the cypress wood that they used to build this, will withstand a hurricane.
Wow.
It was built to withstand hurricanes.
I bet that place is just amazing.
And I think the bayou, everybody needs to get in that little boat, go down the bayou, and see the wonderful flowers on every side of that bayou.
You know, it almost sounds like, the way you describe this, it almost sounds like it's like literally like stepping back in time, not just kind of going to see something. It's like actually submerging yourself into a different time and place.
It is. You're stepping back in history in the 1800s, and I don't know if many people would have had the money to have did this deal along the bayou and make these botanical gardens out there. You know, most people would have left it wild.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even be able to get down the bayou. But you can go down that bayou, you can look at all the beautiful things. School children come by the hundreds to see this. The teachers bring them to see all this.
Wow, I bet they do.
Yeah, because it's really a good teaching tool to see this enormous museum, the home, and then to go down the bayou and see Shangri-La, as they call it.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that for any weekend that we can finally get out. I don't know when that'll be, but I highly recommend it.
When we can get out safely.
When we are allowed to get out of the house and to go. And my grandchildren said, when I get in the car with them, and we're in the Navigator, and they said, go fast, go fast. That's the only thing we've got going. We go fast for half a mile. I mean, you know.
Wow.
So we're just thankful for that.
Good. Good deal. Well, it sounds like y'all are getting through the situation quite nicely.
We are. I mean, you can always go down to Llamas and play in the sand with them. I mean, you know, that's about it, folks. That's about what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. And they were freshly sheared, right?
They are freshly sheared just before the weather got so hot. So they're in good shape. They appreciated that.
Good deal. Good deal. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
So if you were to sum this up and say, okay, look, you know, somebody comes to you and they say, Faye, okay, I've been in the stock market. I've done all these other things. What makes investing in a life insurance policy so much better than all the things that I've tried and lost money at so far? What's the big difference?
I think the big difference is you know what you're going to make going in. You know that your principal is safe. It's in a life insurance policy. You know how much you're going to make going in. You know if it goes over what it's going to cost. You know everything you ought to know. It used to be on page 14. Now it's five pages from the end. But you know all the ins and outs. You know everything about the person you're investing in their life insurance policy. You know how long they've got to live approximately. You know everything about it. It's not like in the stock market where you don't know anything. You don't know if you're going to get your money back. You don't know if it's going to go way up or way down. You don't have all that uncertainty in this type of investment.
And there are three risks, and people need to know this going in. And I think when they hear the risks, they're going to say, well, they're not anywhere near the risks that I go through every day in the stock market. So I guess even the three big risks are also a big positive. It's a big win. Right?
I think so, too. The biggest risk of all is it could go over, and sometimes they do go over, and you have to be able to make that payment. So if it's a $500 or $1,000, whatever it is, that's why you must be accredited. That's why it's only for accredited investors, because if it goes over, we want it to be just an everyday occurrence, and you can handle it. The other thing is it's not liquid during the time you're investing. So if you put $100,000 in a policy, until that policy matures, you don't get that $100,000 back. So everybody, I think, knows that. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever failed. And in Texas, we haven't had that happen. And the other thing is their premium income is so great, somebody would buy it.
So
and
really,
they do. Anytime anybody gets in a little bit of trouble, somebody comes in, swoops in, and buys it before anybody knows about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure people are hearing these risks, and they're saying, well, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, but literally that's it, right? I mean, that's...
That's right. And remember, you're in a life insurance policy. We know that life insurance policies are safe. I've never had anybody say they didn't think a life insurance policy was safe. You know, it's probably the safest type of investment to do, I think. I like life insurance policies, or we wouldn't invest in them.
Yeah, and that's really it. You're investing in the policy and then just waiting for it to mature, and that's literally all there is to it.
That's all there is to it, and it works. We know it works. You know, we've had 8 million since the first of the year. So all those people could tell you, you know, we know it works. These are people that have invested again and again and again with us, so they know it does work.
And you said earlier that there's a bunch of policies that are hanging in the balance. You're bidding on some. There's more that are coming in this week to bid on. So there's a lot of availability coming up, right?
I do have availability this week. I've got two policies I can put people in. One of them is the $700,000 one that we will have the documents on it probably Wednesday. And I've got the power policy, which I think it's $1 million. So I have all kinds of policies to put people in this week and get them right in, and we'll get it done.
And one last time for people to make an appointment, come in, talk to you, explore getting into one of these policies and start making some money. One last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.